Seated.
Les is going to come and bring us our reading. Thank you, Les.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the first book of Timothy, chapter 5, verse 17, to chapter 6, verse 2, and can be found on page 1193 of your church Bibles. First book of Timothy, chapter 5, verse 17, to chapter 6, verse 2. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honour, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain," and the worker deserves his wages. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone, so that others may take warning. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and to do nothing out of favoritism. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands. Do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious. Even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters should not show them disrespect just because they are fellow believers. Instead, they should serve them even better because their masters are dear to them as fellow believers and are devoted to the welfare of their slaves. These are the things you are to teach and insist on. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God.
Thank you, Les. Please do keep your Bibles open there. And let's just pray, shall we, as we come to think about that passage. Father God, all of your word is useful for rebuking and teaching and encouraging us as we walk day by day for Jesus. Even passages like this, which seem very focused on just one particular thing, help us to learn, help us to hear you, help us to take to heart what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now then, children, we all know in schools that you have some great teachers, you have some good teachers, lots of good teachers, and then you might have the odd one not so good teacher. Now, I don't want to know names or anything like this, right? But how does, when you don't have a very good teacher, how does it impact you? How does it affect you when you have a teacher who's not very good? Here we go. I know my children have lots to say about this.
Does this include head teachers?
How does it impact you, Sammy?
You're not allowed to eat beef in school anymore.
They're not allowed to eat beef in school because the head teacher's banned beef. Anything else? I know my children have lots to say. How does a bad teacher impact you? Here we go. Go on.
You don't learn.
That's true. Go on then, Jacob.
Loss of enthusiasm.
Yeah. Evie, have you got nothing to say? I find this hard to believe. Just what they said. Kelly, have you got anything you want to tell us? No. All right. Great. But when you have a poor teacher, it really impacts you, doesn't it? In lots of different ways. And the same is true at work. If you have a poor boss, or if you're working for volunteering at a charity, wherever you happen to be in life, leadership matters. And as we've seen in our passage today, it's no different in God's church. In 1 Timothy, as we've been seeing over the last few weeks, and we've heard about false teachers, people who have been saying things that are seriously wrong about Jesus, and they're messing up their own relationship with God, but not just their own relationship, other people's relationship with God as well. As it says at the end of chapter 1, When people listen to these false teachers, it means faith is shipwrecked. It's as if it's sunk to the bottom of the ocean. It's that serious. And it's that serious because, as we know, trusting and knowing Jesus is the only way to be part of God's family. It's the only way we can have assurance of eternal life. And therefore, when we think of bad teachers, yes, they can cause us a problem, can't they, for perhaps a year or two. But a bad church leader can cause problems lasting into eternity. And therefore, Paul the Apostle has been telling Timothy and the church in Ephesus how to respond to wrong teaching. And this week, as we come into our passage this week, Paul is focusing on how churches should support their church leaders, but then, if necessary, where to challenge them as well. Lessons that the modern day church needs to hear. Now, children, today is supposed to be an all-age talk, an all-age service, but to be perfectly honest, I really struggled to figure out how to teach this passage in an all-age manner. So, I've made a little sheet for you guys to do, and do you want to run to the back and grab a pen as well? Could you give that to Kelly? Go get a pen and give it to Kelly. And listen to the talk and fill it in as we go through. And there might be a little sweet treat at the end, if you can show me at the end of the service. Sorry, you're not getting a sweet treat, Les. A slice of beef. So, our first point this morning. Honour your church leaders. Honour your church leaders. Please look with me at chapter 4 and verse 17. Chapter 5 and verse 17, should I say. There's some things to fill in, so you're going to have to listen in carefully, kids. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honour, especially those who work is teaching, preaching and teaching. Now, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to think that actually the Ephesian church, where these false teachers have been happening and operating, that people have started to get nervous about church leadership in general. You know what I mean? Who do we trust? And it's just like, oh, do we really need church leaders? Well, the Apostle Paul says, you do need some church leaders, but you need, verse 17, ones who direct the affairs of the church well. For those who match up to what he said earlier on in 1 Timothy. And he says to them, give them double honour. Treat them with honour and respect. And for those who particularly labour in preaching and teaching and don't have time to do another job, the other type of honour, because it talks about two types of honour, doesn't it? The other type of honour is pay. Pay them properly. I heard of a pastor who worked in the countryside, and some in the congregation took it upon themselves, because their living was farms, they took it upon themselves to provide the pastor and his family with milk and eggs. And the pastor was really encouraged by that, their generosity, until he got his next salary check and found out they deducted it from it. True story. Not honouring their leaders. Well, I'm very thankful to God for the way he has provided for us here at Cornerstone. When we started 3 years ago, we had a small launch team and they gave generously, but we didn't have a lot of money, and I volunteered to work for the church for very little money, and Amanda became a teacher to support our family. And then what's happened over the last few years is that God has provided more than we've expected time and again. I mean, Paula's the treasurer, it felt like miracles, hasn't it, year after year in what God's provided. And as that's happened, it's been possible for the church to pay me more and for me to work more hours. And we've always said that our hope is that I'll get to work full-time for Cornerstone, but we're not quite there yet, and that's fine. Because Cornerstone does not exist to give Mike Walton full-time employment. It exists because we're a family which is committed to doing our part in making followers of Jesus Christ and seeking to lovingly obey him. But as we've been trying to do that, I know I have experienced that double honour that Paul is talking about, and I hope my fellow elders feel appropriately honoured as well. Thanks to God. Thanks to you, our church family. Just before we move on, though, verse 18. Paul appeals to the Old Testament and Luke's gospel about the rightness of paying your teaching elders. And do you notice there that Paul refers to Luke's gospel as scripture? This is only perhaps a decade or two after Jesus' death, and here they are. Oh, that gospel that Luke wrote, That's part of the Bible. So first point, honour your church leaders. Secondly, don't remove them too quickly. Remember verse 17? You honour the elders who direct the affairs of the church. But what do you do when they don't run the church well? Those who are false teachers. Well, verse 19, chapter 5 and verse 19. Do not entertain an accusation against an elder unless it is brought by two or three witnesses. But those elders who are sinning, you are to reprove before everyone so that others may take warning. Now again, it's not hard in the Ephesian church to imagine that some elders were getting fired and new ones were getting appointed. And, you know what I mean, in some cases rightly so. But then in other situations, actually, people are being fired too quickly. And actually, it's not being investigated properly. And therefore, Paul says, make sure any accusations are brought forward, not by just one person, but by two or three witnesses. Basically, check your facts before you act. And we do need to be careful here. Because if a minister is accused of something, and for some reason you're not a big fan of that minister, it's very tempting to jump to the conclusion, well, there's no smoke without fire, before the facts are really known. And at some point, hopefully it's not for a long time, but it probably will happen, because it happens in most churches, I or one of the other elders will probably be accused of something serious. It happens in every church from time to time. I've got a friend who's a minister, and it's a good church, and the minister there has been accused by someone in the church family of one of the elders not being gentle enough with people and instead being aggressive and easily angered. So if or when it happens here, and let's just pretend it's me who's been accused, don't believe the rumours, let the facts be checked. And if the accusations turn out to be true and serious, sack me. I'm deadly serious. If I fall off the wagon and start teaching or behaving like a false teacher, you must be ready and willing to sack me. Now, by the grace of God, I hope and pray that I will remain faithful to Jesus in word and deed. But if I do go wrong, and it's serious stuff, you need to sack me. The elders and the trustees, you know what I mean, the bishops will be there to support you through it if that ever happened. And let's be clear. How often do you hear of a pastor being sacked in the UK? Happens very rarely. Now, is that because in the UK, we've on the whole got our pastors who are more godly than the rest of the world, or actually they're more godly than what happened in the early church? No. It's because churches do not sack their pastors when they need to be sacked. We need to take this seriously. So if accusations are made, let them be dealt with properly, innocent until proven guilty. And as verse 20 says, generally speaking, any essentials should be made public and not hidden away. Don't remove them too quickly, but do remove them if need be. Point three, do not show favouritism. Do not show favouritism. Now, children, just look up from your worksheets for a moment. And I'm sure you've seen this happen at school. Perhaps you're queuing up to go into the dining hall or something like that, and somebody pushes in into the queue. And a teacher stood there, and the teacher sees it, but does nothing about it. And they don't do anything because that child is one of their favourites. Now, how annoying is that when it happens? And let's, so 1 to 10, 10's really annoying, 1's not very annoying. Let's see, how annoying is it when someone pushes in and the teacher, because of a favourite, doesn't do anything about it? How annoying is that, Sam? 1 to 10.
It doesn't happen very often, but if it did happen, I'd say like 9.5.
9.5, that's pretty annoying. Do you want to say how annoying that would be, Kelly? How annoying would it be?
12.
12 off the scale! Woo! But it is annoying, isn't it? It is really annoying when favouritism is shown. Well, such things should not happen in church. Verse 21, please look with me. I charge you in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to keep these instructions without partiality and do nothing out of favouritism. Now, favouritism generally is not good, but here, again, Paul is particularly talking about church leaders. Do not side with another church leader in an aspect of church life just because they're your friend, say, or because they supported you in something 6 months ago. Instead, make decisions based on the truth of Scripture and of godly wisdom. Now, again, I'm thankful that I've not been aware of this happening here. You know what I mean? I'm not perfect. I could be missing it. But when favoritism does take root, it is so destructive. And here Paul gives a solemn charge. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus knows when favoritism is coming into play. Even the angels know. Do not show favoritism. Next, do not appoint new leaders too quickly. Do not appoint new leaders too quickly. Please look at me at verse 22. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. Now, when it talks about laying on of hands there, when new leaders were selected, and before, as they took up their leadership role, they'd be prayed for. So that's what it's talking about there. And here is, beware the temptation of appointing new leaders too quickly. And again, you can imagine the Ephesian church why this might be happening. I mean, some elders were being sacked, some rightly, some wrongly, and there were gaps. I mean, who's going to preach next Sunday? Who's going to visit the sick? Who's going to do this, 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 dot, dot, dot? You can imagine so many things. In the panic, it's easy to imagine someone, that we just need to get somebody quick. Fill the gaps. But Paul says, take your time. Why? Verse 24. The sins of some are obvious, reaching the place of judgment ahead of them, and the sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious, and even those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. Some people wear a mask. Not a literal mask, but it's a mask which they hide behind. And they hide their sin behind. But sin can only remain hidden for so long. It will always start to show in some way. Now, especially if you've been considered for church leadership, hiding your sin away is doubly wrong. You shouldn't be hiding away from that. But it does happen. And if you flip the coin over, thinking about good deeds, Christians shouldn't be advertising their good deeds. You know what I mean? We shouldn't be doing something and going, hey, look at me, woo-hoo! We should be trying to keep it as private as possible. But again, true good deeds, over time, they'll just start to show. They can't remain hidden. And therefore, when appointing new church leaders, take your time. Don't be hasty. It's why when we appoint a new trustee or elder here at Cornerstone, we consult the church family and ask for suggestions. The elders then, with the help of the trustees, then come up with one or two persons who might be appropriate to serve in that role. And then we come back to the church family and say, we're thinking of this person or this person being a trustee or an elder. And yeah, an opportunity for feedback. And only then is a final decision made. Do not be hasty. And then finally, number 5, do not buy into false holiness. Do not buy into false holiness. And verse 23. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Now, it sounds like here that Timothy had stopped drinking wine. And we don't know for certain, but it's probably because some of the false teachers were saying drinking any type of alcohol is wrong. I mean, they thought and taught, if you want to be really holy, you need to stay off the pop. But they were wrong. Christians are free to drink, or not to drink if you choose. Not saying you have to drink. However, as we saw in 1 Timothy earlier, people shouldn't be drinking to excess. So here is Paul saying to Timothy, watch yourself. The odd glass of wine is fine, and it might even do you some good. But the important thing is, don't buy into a false type of holiness. And again, that's still a modern problem. A year ago, there was a senior church leader, not in our denomination, but a senior church leader publicly said, you should never trust a Tory. Now, in her mind, holiness equaled having a left-wing view of politics. Now, that's a false type of holiness. Now, there's good and not-so-good politicians on both the left and the right and in the middle. We should always be holding up what we think of holiness to the mirror of Scripture. And claiming to please God must be coming from the Bible. Now, time doesn't allow us to go into verses 1 and 2 in chapter 6, but in short, it's about honouring your boss at work, and it doesn't matter whether they're a follower of Jesus or not. we should still be honouring them. So as we close, we've seen this morning about how we should be supporting our church leaders with honour, with patience when problems are being sorted out, with patience when new leaders are being appointed, but also being ready to challenge false teaching and behaviour, challenge favouritism, challenge rush decisions. Why? Because it matters. When church leadership goes wrong, often whole churches then go wrong. And the end result? Remember, trust in Jesus is shipwrecked. And that is terrible. It takes us all, not just me, not just my fellow elders or the trustees, it takes us all with God's help to ensure that doesn't happen here. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your church to each of us and to the world. Thank you for the joys and support that we have as we walk together following Jesus. We need each other so much. And Father, we want to be as healthy a church as possible here. We know we're not perfect. We're sinners forgiven by you. And we will mess up in small ways. But we pray, Father, that you'll help us not to mess up in these big ways. Protect us from it, we pray, Jesus. Help us to take to heart what you have been saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.